You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. Already in progress. It's hour two on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. A little bit later on, the Chargers head coach, Brandon Staley, will join us after that win against the Kansas City Chiefs. This just in, Richard Sherman is planning on visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa may be looking to make a key addition right before the showdown with the Patriots. This according to Ian Rappaport. Richard Sherman had been rumored to maybe go back to Seattle, maybe San Francisco, and now making a visit. He's a free agent with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Keep an eye on that story. McLevin, what's poll question?
Which non-obvious NFC contender has the best chance of reaching the Super Bowl? And the new leader is your Dallas Cowboys. Mm. And the Cardinals actually jumped up to number two.
Cowboys rolled the Eagles last night 41-21. Dak had three touchdown passes and had this to say after the game.
How good did this win feel, though? I mean, probably the most complete victory you guys have had in a few years.
Yeah, I mean, it feels great. Like you said, complete from defense, offense, complimentary football, all the way around. That was fun. I think that showed the brotherhood that we're creating and the culture that we're creating within this team. And that's just one, and that's just a step. And that was a big step in the building block of where we're going and what we're trying to accomplish.
Also, it helps when you have a standalone game because sometimes games get lost, like Minnesota against Seattle. That performance by Minnesota got lost, where people go, oh, that's right. Minnesota won that game. You know, the Rams, a standalone game against Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers, a standalone game. There's no problems with Aaron Rodgers. Beat San Francisco. The Rams look like they're the favorites to go to the Super Bowl in the NFC. The standalone games. The Dallas Cowboys appear to be better than we thought. It's a standalone game. And therefore, you watch more of that team. Therefore, it's not just a win. It feels like it's 1.5 wins. And you're going to get the whole day of coverage. Tuesday is about the Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott, Zeke Elliott running the football, Pollard in there sharing some carries with him. You got the offensive line protecting Dak. You got a tight end now. You got wide receivers, Micah Parsons. You got Diggs, your cornerback. Imagine if they had lost. It'd be all about the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy and however they lost or that defense. Standalone games, really important. Standalone game on Sunday night, Patriots and the Buccaneers. Here's Tom Brady talking about heading back to New England.
There's different emotions that are cued by different, you know, experiences and feelings. And I think when I think of 20 years in one place, you're right. I know that locker room. I know that home locker room. I know that home tunnel. I know, you know, which way the wind blows. I know everything about that. I know the way it smells. I know what a night game's like. I know what the fans are going to sound like. So in some ways, that'll be really unique. I've never had that experience going to, you know, New England. It'll be a first time for me being on the other sideline. So, you know, I'm not going to necessarily reminisce. I don't think this is the moment for that. And I'll have plenty of opportunities to reminisce about my football career. None of which I really care to do right now because I'm so much in the moment.
I don't know how you go in there and you're not emotional. Having been on the sidelines when Brady runs out in New England and he runs all the way to the other end zone and then he screams, let's go. Here's Bill Belichick on WEEI. It starts with the reporter's question about Tom Brady.
Bill, over the course of you and Tom's time together, you said dozens of times that there was no quarterback you would rather have. When did that change?
No, never changed.
So you wanted Tom to re-sign here after the 2019 season?
Well, I think we've been through all the dynamics of that. You know, he looked at his options and made his decision. We weren't as good an option as Tampa. It wasn't a question of not wanting him, that's for sure.
Well, maybe you wanted him. You just didn't want to give him a great contract. A contract that would be commensurate to somebody who helped you win all those Super Bowls. You know, this way you can say, hey, we made him an offer. Like ESPN made Kenny Mayne an offer to keep him. It wasn't an offer that Kenny Mayne thought was fair. It was a 60% pay cut. So Kenny Mayne left ESPN. Hey, we offered him a contract. Yeah, you can offer contracts. Sometimes it's not a good contract. It's a contract that's easy to turn down. I think Brady looked at it and said, really? Really? You've tried to replace me? Jimmy Garoppolo, you probably wanted Jimmy Garoppolo more than me. I went out and proved you wrong again. Do you love me? You don't love me. Oh, the owner loves me. Does the coach love me? Sort of. I'm going to offer you a contract. You know what? I'm going to go have fun. And that's it. Thank you. I'm going to go have fun. And that's what happened. I don't think this is one of those where they're like, we offered Tom a contract to make them the highest paid player in the game. That's what Green Bay did with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, we'll make you the highest paid quarterback player in the game. And he said it's not about the money. And he's proving that. It's not about the money. He wants to make sure that Devontae Adams gets paid, but this was not about Rodgers getting paid. He wanted respect. He wanted an apology. You know, Brady sort of wanted respect, an apology, but he also wanted to be paid. He had taken less, or he deferred money. Well, I think Brady was just saying, man, I did this for 20 years. I'm not going to do it anymore. Yeah, Paul.
It kind of reminds me of the Bulls documentary about the mid-90s Bulls, that they could have kept all those guys, Rodman, Pippen, and Jordan, for one more year, but the management wanted to show how smart they were and blow it up, or not blow it up, but do their own thing quicker. Let's pull the Band-Aid off. It feels like that's what the Patriots did. Let's move on now.
Yeah, and they got the quarterback they wanted in Mac Jones, and it might turn out to be a better business decision. It just, I think if you're waiting for Tom Brady to be washed, you're going to keep waiting a little bit longer. Because what he does, what is it that you look at and you go, oh, he can't do that anymore? Nothing. All you have to do is give him time. He gets it out quickly. It's not like he's gotten slower. I don't think he was ever fast enough to get slower. And, you know, as long as you protect him, that's it. You either quit because you don't want to play anymore or because you're injured. Tom Brady still wants to play, and he's still healthy. And it's really hard, although the Rams put pressure on him. You know, they got to him. But for the most part, he's having fun. He's got a good team. He's able to recruit players. He likes Bruce Arians. Why would you leave? But now you go back to New England, and we're going to find out a lot about Mac Jones in this game, because here's a standalone game. Because you probably didn't watch the Saints and the Patriots. Not a standalone game. But if you did, New Orleans really confused him, put a lot of pressure on him. And he looked like a rookie quarterback. And that's behind a pretty good offensive line that has some weapons. They have some running backs and a couple of tight ends. Now, is it a dynamic offense? No. But it's a pretty good offensive line. And I think that'll be interesting to see what Tampa does to Mac Jones. And then what is Bill Belichick going to dial up? We always say, oh, Belichick takes away your number one weapon there. Okay. Who are you taking away? Gronk? All right. Like no other coach thinks, I'm going to take away your number one. Belichick's been given more credit for taking away your number one option more than any coach in NFL history. You know, he takes away your number one option. Like, okay. Do you think these coaches go into a meeting, they're going, I don't know, who should we slow down here? I don't know. How about N'Keal Harry? Yeah, we'll shut him down. Yeah.
All right. Is that Belichick's strategy, not having a number one option on offense so no one can take it away from them?
Well, he's done a pretty good job. Yes, Todd.
Do Brady and Belichick have any type of exchange before or after the game, especially if it goes very poorly for New England?
Well, we've seen that before where Tom doesn't stay out there. When Nick Foles beat him last season, he didn't stay out there and give him a little dap or anything. A little handshake. See ya. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you think this is all working out for Belichick's timeline? He's 69. Are they forming the pieces for another run, or is this just going to sort of peter out?
Well, that's what I wondered. If you move on from Brady, then, you know, it's not like you have another quarterback. They tried Cam, and they realized that he's not consistent enough. It's not Brian Hoyer either. If you go all in on a rookie quarterback, now you didn't have to trade up to get him. He fell in your lap. That's really important as well. But from a financial standpoint, a rookie quarterback or that contract, okay, now you can build the infrastructure, and that's what New England did with Tom Brady. They were able to spread out that money, keep the defensive stars there, and then they relied on Brady to make something out of those offenses. And they struck gold with Gronk, a guy who had back issues when he was in college. Hernandez, we didn't know the baggage that he was carrying, but, you know, they gave Tom a couple of weapons. Yes, he.
It kind of feels strange to say, but it's really important for Bill Belichick's legacy to win another ring.
Yeah.
without Brady.
Yeah.
What?
I know.
What
I know.
The heck?
I know. The greatest coach in NFL history. Yeah, but Bill, you got to win another Super Bowl.
Couldn't do it without Tommy. Oh, my gosh.
It'd be like if you said to Jordan when he went to the Wizards, you got to win another ring without Pippen, without Phil Jackson. Phil did. Phil went and said, yeah, I'm going to go to the Lakers and win a couple rings here. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Zach in Charlotte leads us off this hour. Zach, good morning. What's on your mind?
DP, what's going on, man? How's your golf game?
Oh, you know, I'm double digit right now, handicap.
That's all right. Keep working at it. Hey, got a question and a comment. Question is, deep down, who do you think Patriots fans truly want to win this game? Bill Belichick or Tom Brady? And my comment, final comment, is, DP, I love your body of work.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you. I would get that compliment sometimes when people weren't quite sure what I did, but they would go, I love your body of work. And I was like, thank you. Do you know what I do? I think you're like a radio guy. Like, you have your voice. I love your body of work. And it's like, thank you. My body's a wonderland. Yes, Tom.
Well, why can't it mean something positive? Like, you're so versatile in the Sandlin movies and Broadcasting Hall of Fame, Radio Hall of Fame, giving out trophies.
Yeah, but I don't think they knew that when they say, I love your body of work. I don't know if they knew exactly. Once I left ESPN, they were like, what are you doing now? I'm like, I don't know. Doing radio and TV a little bit. Hosted the Olympics. I gave out a Super Bowl trophy. Oh, I love your body of work. Yes, Paul.
It is funny. Even now, we've been, I think we left ESPN in 07. Every once in a while, I'll run into like a person I haven't seen in a while, or not that long. And they're like, you still making that trek up to Bristol? That's a long commute. I'm like, yeah, that was 14 years ago. I'm like, oh.
Well, then you get somebody who goes, man, I watch you on SportsCenter every morning. And I go, do you? Well, I haven't been there in 14 years and I didn't do mornings. But thank you for watching me.
Yeah, how long has it been since you had a morning re-air of a nighttime SportsCenter that you were hosting?
It's probably about 17 years, 18 years since I was doing second shift.
Because you did the 6 o'clock SportsCenter 04, I think you started
the last
that.
3 years.
Yeah.
Yes, Todd.
Do you correct him or do you just play along
and
say
thank
you?
I just say
you don't need to get into the whole, I haven't been there in a decade and a half.
No. Some people are pointing out that Fritzy, when we were coming up with our hot takes prior to the start of the season, that what week did you say that Trevor Lawrence could get benched and C.J. Beathard would get to play?
Was it like week 5? It might have even been sooner. The things weren't going to go well. I have to go back and check, but I did say that less than halfway through the season that Urban Meyer was going to get so aggravated and things were going to go so bad they were going to have to sit Lawrence and play Beathard.
Yeah, that could be one of the great calls this season. And I could see them doing it because after a while, you're going to send Trevor Lawrence back out there. And I know that you have people from both schools. You got to throw him into the fire. I don't have to throw you into the fire. I can introduce fire to you. Yeah. That like Justin Fields, it felt like he was thrown into a volcano. And then they were like, hey, come on. Let me see you make some plays. No, he's not ready right now. But we want him in. Oh, you got to get the new guy in. Trevor Lawrence can make some plays, but there are times when you go, that's not a good offensive line. Zach Wilson the same way. You know, what's embarrassing is the Jets don't have a legitimate backup quarterback. You would think that this would scream out for Nick Foles to be the backup quarterback or one of the McCown brothers, somebody who can give him just a little bit of a, hey, hang in there. We've all gone through this. I saw an article that says, woeful New York Jets run risk of stunting Zach Wilson's growth. Okay. Why didn't we write that at the beginning of the year? Because you drafted him. Did you somehow think that the Jets were going to be better than this? I mean, they made this decision in August. That's when you write the article. Yeah, they can stunt his development. Absolutely. The Bears can do that. Jacksonville can do that. It happens to young quarterbacks who are on bad teams. Yes. Stunt your growth. Absolutely. Seth in Houston. Hey, Seth, what's on your mind today?
Welcome to your Tuesday, Dan Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
5'9", and we're working on it 199. I just wanted to say, longtime Cowboys fan, something that Cowboys fans are probably excited about is to see that Dak Prescott is a leader, as my friend Dan Patrick likes to say. He's a leader. And it's something that we really missed with Romo. Romo always had a great command of the offense, but Dak has a tremendous command of the whole team. And that's something that's really encouraging. He goes into press conferences, always takes leadership, takes accountability. Romo was always sort of mealy-mouthed, which we didn't love, but we still love Tony Romo and appreciate a guy like Prescott who now reminds us of what Troy Aikman was like in the 1990s.
Yeah, that's a great call. Thank you, Seth. I like Dak Prescott. Like him as a person, like him as a quarterback. I know that a scout who's a source said, you know, that teams were trying to put them in third and long because they, you know, defenses, they wanted to have Dak Prescott beat them, and they didn't think he could his rookie year. Well, he went 13-3, comes back from a devastating injury. And there's a lot that goes into being the Cowboys quarterback. He seems to handle all of this. You know, there's not drama here for the most part. He seems to embrace when a, you know, game's on the line or a big moment there. He doesn't shy away from it. Oh, I have what Fritzy's hot take was. Let me take a break here. What Fritzy said prior to the start of the season may prove to be true. More phone calls coming up as well. Check in with the Chargers in an hour from now. Take a break back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. It's been almost 4 years since we announced the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. This is Full Sail University. They have a beautiful campus in Orlando, Florida, and you can also get your degree online in sportscasting. We have over 400 active students. We started with 5. Word got around, and what we're offering is different than any other place in the country. And there are wonderful schools of journalism. Ours is, this is your first job. Going to Full Sail University, now you start a job. It's not, hey, I'm going to college. We're going to have keggers here, and I'm going to, you know, join a fraternity or sorority. We want you to understand what it's like. We have 100 graduates. They're working in the business now. And you find out everything from being in the studio, the control room, all the facets. And you come out ready for a job. And our grads are proving that. If you or anybody you know is looking to get into this business, give our school a look. You'll earn that degree in about half the time. A bachelor's degree in sportscasting. On campus or online, Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, 5-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz Vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go that extra mile. Taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Go to danpatrick.com. We got great deals on all the clothes there. And we have our tailgate package there that is really quality stuff. The Penny Bang Biscuits, we listen to you. 2 different sizes. We got them for puppies as well. And great treats, all natural ingredients. And they're handmade from scratch. 20% of all Bang Biscuit sales given back to handpicked partners in the pet industry. This is what Fritzy had to say. We all had hot takes before the start of the season. And Fritzy said, after a week 4 loss at Cincinnati and being shown up by Joe Burrow, Urban Meyer, even more frustrated, makes a change under center, enters C.J. Beathard week 5 at home against the Titans. Okay.
This goes bad in prime time Thursday night against another young quarterback.
Yeah. You're getting some love here. Some love there. People are saying, hey, Todd, might be one of the great calls there.
We shall see. The big Jaguar Bengal game Thursday night.
I know. All of a sudden, it's interesting. Well, after the game, because if Trevor Lawrence doesn't do well, Joe Burrow comes in and lights it up. Jamar Chase. Yes, McLovin.
I'll do a pie bet on that one. That Trevor does not get benched.
The entire season?
Yes.
Okay. Fritzel J, are you up for that one?
That Trevor's not going to sit at any point the whole game? You said starting, right, specifically?
No, like no, get benched for
so
performance.
So no injury. No, yeah, yeah, like, not because of an injury. Does right. Trevor Lawrence get benched this year, Tom?
Yeah, let's do that. I think Trevor is going to have to sit at some
okay.
point this season.
Wow, I like it. I like it. We have a bet.
Non-injury related performance.
Yeah,
yeah, for performance. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. What if it's like week 7? Well, no, okay, I'll go.
It's
I'll
the
go
whole ahead. Season. The bet's official.
For performance.
Yeah. Yes, Tom.
But here's where it gets tricky, though. It could be for performance, and they cover it up. One of those, yeah, he's got a little hammy or something, or shoulder. We'll never know what the real deal is if it's because of performance. But they don't want to embarrass him, so they say he's injured.
I guess I can be the arbiter.
You will be.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
What's wrong with Trevor Lawrence? I don't know. He threw a pick six on a flea flicker that went disastrously wrong. I mean, he's the same as Zach Wilson and Justin Fields. They're all the same guy right now.
Yeah, but this might be about Urban more than Trevor. Maybe they're just like we had you go into the deep end. Now we want to have you come back and give you some floaties. Give him like a week or two to just now watch the game from the sidelines as opposed to being in there in the fire. I just don't believe that every rookie quarterback is wired the same and ready for success. It depends on the team you're on. And that's what you're seeing right now. Trevor's not on a good team. I don't expect him to do great things. Didn't we have a bet that you could have Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson for Rookie of the Year, or you could have everybody else? I'm like, this is a no-brainer. I'm taking everybody else. I'm not taking those two. I don't think they can put up numbers here.
I don't know if any quarterback's going to win it this year. It'll probably be Ja'Marr Chase or a receiver.
Yeah, well, so far. Looks pretty good.
Or Micah Parsons.
Jeopardy last night had an interesting final Jeopardy. Now, that guy who is winning right now, what is it, Matt Imodio?
Yeah.
He's like, I think he went to Yale. But
he's a PhD student at Yale, and he works in research, and he's got an interesting delivery.
I think he's from Ohio, which is where you find most of your scholars from. But he has an interesting delivery. He's very economical in how he answers on Jeopardy. It's always, what is? And he doesn't even, he'll go, what is Johnson? And then Mayan Bialik will go, yes, who is Andrew Johnson? You know, and you're like, and he's made like $1 million, something like that. He's going for the all-time record. Yeah, McLeod, or Paulie.
I saw an interview with him. He said he does not think about the phrasing of the question. Mm. He just answers it in a formal question. His grammar is terrible, but it's by choice because I don't want to give one thought to what is, who is, who are.
Mm. Okay. What was Final Jeopardy last night?
Okay, the category is rock music.
By the way, there was a embarrassing moment on Wheel of Fortune last night. We'll have that for you coming up. All right, Paul.
A new studio album in 2020 gave him a top five album in six consecutive decades. His first was in 1975. Repeating. A new studio album in 2020 gave him a top five album in six consecutive decades. His first was in 1975.
I'm going to say that album in 75 was Born to Run, and who is Bruce Springsteen?
Do we have any other guesses? One guess last night was David Bowie, who had been passed away 4 years earlier.
Okay.
Yeah, but that hasn't stopped any artist from putting out a top five
That's
album.
True.
Tupac's got a hot one now.
Yeah.
I would have maybe guessed Elton John.
I think Elton John had a top five album prior to 75. Seton O'Connor.
I would have thought Bruce Springsteen, too. But since Paul is so excited about it, it must be Tom Petty.
Mmm. Damn the torpedoes.
It's not Tom Petty. One of the other names being bandied about was Paul McCartney, but his first number one album was, I think, in 71 or 72 with Wings.
Yes. That might have been Ram. I don't know. Who is Bruce Springsteen? I'm betting it all. $500,000.
The answer is Bruce Springsteen.
Yay!
Oh. Nice.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Springsteen in 75. Yes,
baby, we were born to run.
All right, you got it.
No.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Was this Western Stars or... Did he have another album? I think he's had two albums in the last 3 years. Wheel of Fortune, there was an embarrassing moment there. Todd, you want to recap Wheel of Fortune?
We do have a look-in on it as well.
Oh!
If we want to save
okay,
it
well, why don't you tell it, and then the next look-in, if you're watching on Peacock, then we'll show you.
Many of the letters were already up there, and the gentleman suggested he wanted to solve the puzzle and said, I'm so hungry I could eat a house. And that was not quite the answer, and the woman next to him jumped in on that and said, I'm so hungry I could eat a horse.
Okay.
But it'll be very amusing to watch it unfold in the look-in to see it actually in front of you.
All right. Well, thank you, Todd. Yes, Paul.
I watched Wheel of Fortune about 2 weeks ago, and this guy was crushing. He'd guessed like seven letters in a row, and he's building up his bank account. And then he landed on the million-dollar square, and what you have to do next is both guess a letter and guess the answer simultaneously, like back-to-back. And you get $1 million. It was all done for him. It was all there. And he had to guess one more letter. He goes, I'll have an S, please. And he goes, oh, no, you've already picked S. Mm. So he was DQ'd from the round.
DQ'd.
And lost an easy mill.
Wow. Yikes.
They really give you a sense for how big the room is on that show, though. Because everyone says everything like this. Like, man, that place must be, like, cavernous.
Well, Jeopardy is here on the Sony lot, and then you walk, there's an alleyway, and then you walk over to where Jeopardy is. They're that close together. When I was doing Sports Jeopardy, you could walk out and then walk over, and you'd be like, hey, Pat. Hey, Vanna. How are you? But it is big. But Jeopardy, that studio is really big as well. Yes, Tom.
They're also getting cute, making it a little harder, I've noticed, with like, it's a phrase. And then the phrase is, I'll have the bologna and cheese. That's not a phrase. Right? A phrase is like a pinch in time saves nine or whatever. They're taking a lot of liberties and making it a little tricky. Phrases that aren't really phrases. Back to you in the studio.
The things that upset you amaze me.
I'm saying at least 3 days a week there's some puzzle and they go, it's a thing or a phrase or...
That's not a thing. Like, that's not a phrase.
That's an order. Once in a while, maybe someone orders that. It's not a phrase that someone throws out there and uses on a regular basis. I'll have the bologna and cheese. That's the phrase.
Are you there at like 7:30 at night on your couch? And
my wife and I will watch the nightly news with Lester Holt, and we will watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune.
And then you tape Murder, She Wrote for late night.
And if there's not a sporting event on at 8 o'clock, I got into trouble. Might be really,
and no early. And no streaming with Todd.
No streaming.
Zero.
No binge watching. The only thing I binge is like late at night, like a couple of slices of pizza is the only thing I'm binging.
Yeah, because Todd will, if it's on ABC, CBS, or NBC.
Especially the local news.
Oh,
I'm all
like
over
Todd, whenever there's a sporting event, it's usually like ABC, Saturday Night Football. You're like, Todd, there's other channels there.
I thought it's really just, you know, I grew up in New York. It was 2, 4, 5, 7, and PBS was 13, yeah, and that was it.
Yeah. But we'll bring up a show, a streaming service, and Todd is not involved in the conversation.
What are you guys talking? Peaky what? What are you talking about? What is that? I don't get it. Stranger, why? I don't know what you're talking.
Yeah, I know. And that's why when I tell Todd, I said, hey, why don't you see if you can reach out to David Harbour? And Todd's like, who's David Harbour?
Was he in a TV show from 1986? Because if not, then I don't know what
said,
you're talking about.
No, the Stranger Things. You know, he's Hopper.
Is that the movie with like a kid named Seven or something like that, or 11? Isn't there one of those shows? With
11. Yeah, 11. All right. Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Kid's got a number for a name. It's going to affect you later in life, I would
think. You think so?
Yeah, I think it will.
What if your name was One?
That's a lot to live up to. Oh, you think you're One, and then you take the crap out of that kid.
Todd's would be Two, obviously.
It would
Wow.
be. That's fair.
Wow.
You know what? That's fair.
It'd be called Deuce.
Deuce Bigelow. I don't understand. They haven't called me yet for one of those sequels. Yeah.
Deuce McAllister, your favorite football player.
He really is. Yeah. Elway and then Deuce McAllister.
Yeah. Fong in New Orleans joining us on the show. Fong, what's on your mind?
Hey, Dan. 5'6" and a runner's 137.
Okay.
So in honor of Liverpool playing today, I was wondering if you could set up some type of competition where gets relegated and one of the backroom guys gets promoted, and you would just put like some competitions on the wheel of punishment and have them spin the wheel.
Wow.
And do that.
Wow. A relegation. Well, thank you, Fawn.
Pro rel? Dang.
Yeah. You guys in favor of relegation?
It's good content.
See, you're in favor of relegation?
Yeah, why not?
Like Mario could end up sitting there?
Yeah. Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, but that I lose if that's the case.
Don't we all win?
Not if Mario's in your chair. Yes, Paulie.
So I would get to sit in back for 5 hours to discuss the Mets bullpen? That'd be fantastic. Not do anything else?
I'll go in the back, and our backroom guys, you know, they are obviously talking sports, and I'll go back, and somebody's yelling about the Jets or the Mets, and, you know, they're very heated conversations back there. And I think it should be kept back there. I don't need to bring it out here. I do like the relegation. I do like that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Paul in Iowa joins us. Hi, Paul. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Well, you know, I'm a little upset as a Packer fan at the national media today, because I want you to think about if David Bakhtiari and Devontae Adams would have tried to fly to Hawaii to meet with Aaron Rodgers this offseason while he was with his fiance, and Rodgers said, nope, don't want to meet with you, don't want to play with you. I'm out. Because that's happening in the NBA with Ben Simmons right now. So how do you feel about a player that's willing to be that non-negotiable with teammates?
You know, Ben is making his bed here, but he had help with that bed. Doc Rivers helped make that bed, and so did Joel Embiid. Like, they said things. And I know Doc Rivers is trying to walk this back, but Doc, I love your honesty, but it's hard to walk this back, because now you're saying the media is the ones that are interpreting this in a different way. Well, all I know is Ben Simmons is interpreting the same way I am, and that is when somebody asked Doc after they lost against the Atlanta Hawks, can you win a championship with Ben Simmons? And Doc says, I don't know. Doc had this to say yesterday, snapping at a reporter.
Listen, we can go back and forth all you want or anybody else wants on intent, but I've never had a problem owning what I say.
Okay,
never.
So now when you look...
No, I'm going to finish.
Okay, sure.
I'm in charge here. I'm going to finish, okay. All right?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm the captain now.
I'm in charge.
Wow.
Dang.
Okay. But I think the Sixers put themselves in this position. Remember when it was 2 weeks ago when Joel Embiid had a tweet and it's like, I love Ben, or, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. And I went, oh, boy, this sounds like this was management saying, hey, can you send something out nice with Ben? Because we kind of have to have him in the fold if we're going to trade him. We don't really want him back, but we got to make it seem like he's really valued. And then Doc saying, I don't know. How else can I interpret that? Yes, McLovin.
That's more generous than the real answer that every single person in Philly knows. Of course he can't win a championship.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. He was honest in the moment.
It should have said no because of the foul shooting thing. Like, that's just not working right now.
All you have to, it's a must-lie situation. You know, hey, we just lost, and we love Ben, and I hope that Ben's going to be here, you know, his entire career. Like, whatever it is, then you can move on. Doc answered it honestly. But then I don't think you can walk that back and then say, well, the media kind of took this out of context. Because he said, well, the next day I said, yes, the next day you said, but in the moment, what did you say? You had 24 hours to think about what you said. Therefore, the next day you said something different. But in the moment, you said you didn't know if you could win a championship. There's no other way for me to take that than you're honest. And I've known Doc Rivers for 40 years. Do I think that he was honest? Yes, I do. Actually, I've known Doc for 35 years. I want to be honest about how long I've known Doc Rivers. Yes, McLean.
Have you ever heard him snap at reporters like that?
No.
He was so nice to us when he came in studio.
He is.
He's like such a nice man.
I remember being around Doc when he played for the Hawks. It's been that long. And I like him, but I think he was, in the moment, he was honest. And that's why it stood out, where I went, wow. And Joel Embiid was worse than Doc. I mean, he said, look, the game changed on that play when Ben didn't go up and want to dunk it. So they didn't have his back. They don't want him back. They know he's flawed. They're trying to win a championship. They don't think they can win a championship with Ben Simmons. I get it. But that's a must-lie situation, and you can't put that on the media. because Ben interpreted it the same way. And they all wanted to go out there and, you know, the teammates wanted to go out and hang out with Ben. And he's like, no, I'm done. And he is. Why would he feel, why would he go, nope, I think they love me. I'm going back. Can you imagine how those Philadelphia fans are going to be? The first time he goes to the line. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More phone calls coming up. Check in with the Chargers head coach. Big win against Kansas City Chiefs. That'll be next hour. Brian Kelly, Notre Dame head coach, will join us on the program tomorrow. I think Ray Allen is going to join us. I thought it'd be nice to talk to one of the great shooters in the history of the game and ask him, what would he do with Ben Simmons? What could you do with Ben Simmons if you were going to teach him or help him? Almost break him down and then build him back up. So Ray Allen will join us on the program tomorrow. I like what I've heard from Damian Lillard because I think it's we're so programmed for stars to say, hey, I want to win. I want to get out. You know, Shohei Ohtani is going to go through this right now in the offseason. Damian Lillard, to his credit, said, I don't want to join a super team. You know, that look, I'll die on my shield. I still believe in playing here in Portland, and I have great respect for that because it would be so easy for him to say, I'm out of here. Trade me. Trade me to Philadelphia. And, you know, I would hate to be the GM who has to live with that, that you're trading Damian Lillard, but he wants to stay. I don't know if they're going to be any good. You know, Chauncey Billups comes in as your head coach. They've had so many injuries on that roster. You know, I don't know what is enough growth for Damian Lillard to go, you know what, okay, I'm going to stay here. Because he might be just being respectful to Chauncey Billups and saying, all right, I'll give you a year. Let's see what we have. Let's go to the trade deadline and then see what's there. And, you know, maybe something else happens. But I give him a lot of credit. Because most guys would probably say, hey, I'm out of here. I want to go chase a ring. And he has not done that. The Brooklyn Nets had their media day yesterday. And David Letterman, the legendary late-night talk show host, he showed up. And he was one of the reporters there. And he had a conversation with Kevin Durant where he asked some questions. Here's David Letterman and Kevin Durant.
Dave from Basketball Digest. Kevin, KD, why do people call you KD? Can I call you KD? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
My first name is Kevin.
Uh-huh, right.
And my second name, my last name is Durant with a D.
I like how Letterman says, I'm going to write that down. And then he asked Kevin Durant about this upcoming season.
KD? This year, what percentage do you plan on giving on the court? 90, 95, 100, 110? What are we looking at?
110.
Okay. And then he had this to say about the Knicks.
I just got off the phone with the Dolan family, and they said that they're talking to the commissioner now. They're looking at working a contractual deal that will allow you, when you're not playing for the Nets, days off, you'll be able to play for the Knicks. Comments?
All right, Dave, that was the last one.
I'm sorry, was that a comment?
That's it.
How about you? Do you have a comment?
I think you gotta wrap it up.
Wrap it up. Okay. I'm being told my time is done. Have a great year. That's it, everybody. Thank you.
There you go.
Good job, Dave. We'll let anybody in here.
I'm assuming Kevin Durant is in on this, but I'm not sure. Because the Nets PR staff had to know if Letterman's coming in, this isn't going to be a serious press conference. And sound like they were having a little bit of fun. But with KD, I'm never sure. Yeah, McLovin.
Do you remember when Letterman proposed two footballs on the field at once to you?
Yes.
Was he being serious? Because I think he might have been.
Do you realize that the last two times I was on Letterman, the producer who pre-interviews you says, Dave's going to bring up the two footballs. And I go, why? It's stupid. He goes, Dave just thinks it's fascinating. Why not have two footballs on the field? And I'll be damned if he didn't bring it up when I'm sitting there. He goes, why don't we have two footballs on the field? And then I think I even said, like, are you serious? Like, really? And then he was. He wanted to know why we don't have two footballs on the field at the same time. Yes, Paul.
I hope he starts going to more press conferences for different sports because this could be a good running bit.
Maybe he could have a conversation with Kyrie Irving. That maybe there could be some humor there. I like how Kyrie, you can't ask him, hey, Kyrie, because there's a report that Kyrie would not be able to play home games if he doesn't get vaccinated. And then the reporter asking him, hey, are you going to be able to play home games? And he's basically saying, hey, that's my personal space. Don't invade my personal space and ask me those questions. While being on Zoom in his home where we're in your personal space, you've allowed us in here. But you can't ask him about getting vaccinated. It's a legitimate question. I mean, this isn't about, I'm not judging you. I'm asking you, are you going to be available for home games? How the hell did we get here in the first place where we're asking a question of a guy who's making $40 million a year and you're not sure if he's going to play home games because he doesn't want to get vaccinated? I'm not going to judge you. I'm just asking, as somebody who's covering the team and what this means, wins and losses, he's not going to be able to play in San Francisco, the Bay Area, when they play Golden State, but that's only one game. Now you're going to be able to play at home. You know, that's my, you know, basically my personal decision here. Yeah, we get that. But you know what? It's your decision, but it affects a whole lot of people here, Kyrie. God, he's just not worth it. He's just not. Yeah. He wanted out of Cleveland, went to Boston, wanted out of Boston. Now you got a super team. Like, is this good enough? Is it worth getting vaccinated to play? If not, then don't play. Or be traded to a team that you don't have to be vaccinated, or the city that you're in, or the state that you're in. But after a while, you just go, Kyrie, you're just not worth it. Yeah, Paul.
If I'm a beat reporter for the Nets, I ask every other player on the team, are you planning on playing in home games this year? When they say yes, go to Kyrie. Say, I asked everybody else first. I'm just going to you next.
Yeah.
Then you can't say you're picking on him.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's going to be an issue, you know? Wiggins with Golden State doesn't want to get vaccinated. All right, if you don't want to get vaccinated, then don't play. Do you only pay him half? I'm going to pay Kyrie half his salary. Is he okay with that? Hey, you're not playing at home. I'll just pay you for on the road. We'll give you per diem, too. Final hour coming up on this Tuesday. Brandon Staley, the Chargers head coach, will join us fresh off the win against Kansas City. Back with the final hour after this.